greet each of you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Tis a blessed opportunity, as Brother Andrew referred to, gathering together with the saints, those that have been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. That's a marvel, and that's something that I think that in the land that we live, sometimes it just becomes just what we do. It's Sunday morning, and it's time to get up and get ready and go to church. But I'd like to encourage us that on a Sunday morning, I trust that you all pray for the message. Because just as God's people, God told Moses to get his people ready and to bring him to meet God at Mount Sinai there, we've come here because God has something for us. And if we come in that way, our hearts are open and we're ready to receive. So I do thank you all that have prayed for this message. And we're going to trust the Lord in that. And before we go into that, as Brother was sharing the opening, Lord bless you and give you grace to walk through the journey that God has called you to do. It's a tremendous trial, but yet a greater blessing. You're going to get to see roses that nobody else in this room is going to be able to see. So that's a blessing. I was sitting there listening to the children's lesson, and he asked the children whether they want to be Larry or Lewis. And then I got thinking that probably everyone in this room is either a Larry or a Lewis. Who am I? And so that brings me to the message this morning. And as a backdrop, the reason for this is we're going to talk about the home this morning. We have ministries all over the world. There's people abroad. They're scattered all over. They're preaching the word today. There's some that have been sent. There's some natives. They're all over, and that's a tremendous blessing. But the burden that I have lies within these four walls. It's called home. It's the church. May we say it's the church in America. That would probably be, I don't know if that's the Anabaptist church in America. Because if we have all of these ministries and we lose our families, we lose our dear children, we don't have anything. We've lost everything. We've lost. Not only will this become an empty, vacant building, because everybody here got old and then they passed away, and now there's no more Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship. It's gone. It's history, and there's a vacant building. But more sobering than that is the testimony of Jesus Christ is gone from this community. That's the burden that I have. So as I think of that, as parents, I see this is probably, maybe I'll put a disclaimer here, that I'm not sharing as one that has it all figured out. Okay, we're in the middle of raising a family. It's a tremendous blessing to learn and to grow. So you can understand and rest assured that I am just like one of you. Okay? But the burden I have is that early on in our life, there's a great zeal and energy to raise up a godly seed. And then I feel that as time gets older, our children, maybe 15, 16, 18, 20 years old, and we start to lower the standard. We start to bring down. Parents start to get a little weary of the battle. Our no then becomes a yes. What we used to stand on as convictions, they become compromisable today. What used to be black and white is we're not so sure about. It's gray now. The facts become feelings. The truth becomes an overzealous passion or just someone's strong opinion. And we're just calm down. Just rest. Just rein it in a little bit and you'll be fine. You understand right where I'm at. That's the burden. So I'd like to encourage us that we don't lower the standard, but we lift the standard high. And with that, I'd like to turn to Psalm 144 as an opening passage. In Psalm 144, we're going to start reading. We're just going to take one verse there. Verse 12, it says that our sons, and you have to read the rest of the chapter to get this, but we won't do that today, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Now there's a tremendous amount of truth in that passage. And so we take Larry and Lewis and we go back to there. And how many of you parents believe that Lewis can be a Larry by the time he's 5-6 years old? Are we convinced that that's a possibility? You see, you know, he's just 5, he's just 6. And before that, it's kind of cute that he does some things that he does. It's just different character traits, you know. It's life. We're all different. And so we settle for that. And Lewis grows up to the point that he comes to Brother Andrew and he wants to go take Bibles. And Brother Andrew says, no, that's not possible. But you know what? That's probably about 20 years too late. Lewis is Lewis. And Lewis will be Lewis until he repents. And so as we think of our young children, it says that the Bible says here that they would be grown up, fully mature in their youth. Now, I don't know if you want to, you can put 12. I would probably put 12 there. Jesus was fully mature at 12 years old. He was about his Father's business. His Father's business was his greatest burden and passion. 12 years old. I trust there's probably children here 12 years old and upward. What is your greatest passion? What gets you moving in the morning? I trust it's more than a cup of coffee. And same with the daughters. You know, they can be polished. It's a finished work. This verse gives a picture of children in their youth that they're complete. They're fully mature. And we're not willing to settle for any less than that. I trust we're not. Some of those inspirations that we had early on in life, as young parents, we get some of those inspirations. Some of that passion, yes, it probably needs some fine tuning. But let's not react and lower the bar. Children will just be children. That's the society we grew up in, I grew up in, is there's a time. There's a time period that is you sow your wild oats. You live after the flesh. But I trust as parents today, we have made many hard decisions and choices to raise up a seed that is in pursuit of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the flesh. Something better, something higher, something greater than pursuing the flesh. So as we think of that, that's the backdrop of the message. And so today we're going to be talking to mostly daddies, because daddy is the head of the home. But in saying that, that doesn't leave off anybody else in the room. And especially not young men. And we'll talk about that later. You may not be a daddy today, but someday you might want to be. And if you're going to be a Lewis, you're probably going to make a pretty poor daddy. Because you're going to raise Lewises just like Lewis. So it's as we think of the responsibility to help our children to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Daddy, as a daddy, the atmosphere of the home is my responsibility. And we'll turn to Psalm 128 for that. A very familiar psalm, I am sure of that. So we have it's me as a daddy's responsibilities to have an atmosphere in the home like the Psalm 28 gives us here. And we're going to start in verse 3 to the end. It says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And so you have you get this picture of a wife, your wife, my wife, as a lush, green, flourishing vine that's just running over. It's just beautiful. It doesn't look half withered. It doesn't look worn out. It doesn't look like it's on its last leg. But it's a wife. It's a very fruitful vine. And thy children, like olive plants, are going to be around your table. And so when you think of that, is you think this table setting, and you have daddy and mommy, she's a fruitful vine, and then you have the children there, you have sons and daughters, and they're sitting around there like olive plants, fully mature olive plants that take much time and energy to bring to maturity. But as they sit there, there's a peaceful atmosphere. They're singing. There's fellowship around the table. It's a peaceful place to be. The home is restful. That's the atmosphere, and Daddy and Mommy are responsible for that. And when that takes place, he says in verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And down to verse 6, yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. So you're going to get to see your grandchildren. That's a beautiful promise. And probably what it's saying here is generations of a peaceful atmosphere. So when we lower the bar, we give up all of that. Now in the home, daddy holds the highest place of responsibility. Therefore, he deserves the highest place of honor under God. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord. There is no, this is not based on, this is based on position, not condition. Because as daddy's here, as young children here, you can probably look at your daddy and you can say, well, I know, but daddy is, so therefore I don't have to be. The Bible says children obey your parents. There's no ifs, ands, and buts put in there. It's a complete sentence. So as young children, as young sons and young daughters, you make sure that you get behind your daddy, you support your daddy, you encourage your daddy, you bless your daddy in whatever way he wants to go. Because you are as much of a part as his profitability in the kingdom of heaven as he himself is. You can be a stick in the mud, or you can be an encourager. And Ephesians 5 says that the wives are to reverence their husband. Again, it's to be that support behind him, to submit to him and not to rail against and hold out and to resist, but to get behind and to lift daddy up. So we're going to look at some synonyms for daddy. And this is it's a father, it's a priest, a prophet. These are words that are spelled different, but they mean the same thing or similar. A minister, a teacher, he's a papa, he's a friend, he's a watchman, a deacon, a bishop, messenger, a leader, a husband, a servant, a preacher, and a soldier. This is our responsibility as daddies. This is our role. This is our calling. So quitting or giving up is not an option. You can't throw in the towel. I don't care if you have 10 children and you know you're 50 years old and you're getting a little tired and you're getting a little worn out and you know the energy runs a little low and well Susie comes along and she gets kind of slips through the cracks. There's no time for that. Because we're laying a foundation for 20 years later. there's way too much real estate at stake. Way too much. It's going to cost us too much. And so as I think of that, is when we think of quitting, I was talking to Brother Abner the other night, and he was going to, or maybe it was Saturday morning, and he was getting ready to go to work on Saturday, and he thought, well, maybe next year, depends. He maybe liked to have Saturdays off. And then he made a statement, as long as it doesn't sink the ship. And as long as it doesn't sink the ship for my home, then you can quit. But quitting is going to sink the ship. Brother Abner was counting the cost at a profitable rate. Will it work? Can I do that? And it's from a business perspective. It's all fine and right and good that he did that. But as a father in my home, can we put the same sheet up there? Can we put our life in a QuickBooks accounting system? And then we put it down here and we see what the bottom line says in raising our children. There's too much at stake for quitting. If my children are not walking with the Lord, where do we look? What's the first place you look when you see some children that are erring from the way? We look at daddy, don't we? Maybe we should have asked the question first. When you see a brother or sister erring in the congregation, who's the first people you think of should be doing something about that? It's okay, you can say it. The ministry. And we just read it. Daddy is a minister. The same responsibility or the qualifications that you have looked at as you ordain someone, the same applies to every daddy in this room. But when something goes wrong, there's someone that holds responsibility, and it's daddy. So the question is how is my walk with the Lord today? Did I lower the standard? Have I grown a little weary? In the last 20 years, and I have no idea how many of you, how long your journey has been with the Lord, I don't know that. But in the last 20 years, if you was to put your life on a line graph, what would it look like? You know, if you took your life, and we had a line graph on the board, and up here we put we'll put the spirit, and down here we'll put the flesh, and in a 20-year period, obviously here's the new birth, and now if you start, obviously normally most commonly when someone gets born again, there's an initial spike all the time. Just about always, you will find someone gets born again, there's some zeal, there's passion, there's courage. We're going out, and whoever we see, we testify of the Lord. We have tracks with us, and we're excited about Jesus. And we're going to take our family, we're going to raise them for Jesus. I don't know the time period there. But then from there, what happens? Is it like that? Or do we go like this here? What does my life look like? I don't know that for you. But sometimes it was, I did it a while ago. You sit down and just think about the last 20 years. And you can do this in your closet, so that way you can be just real honest, okay? And you don't have to do it up here on a whiteboard. And you can sit there in your closet and year after year, you can put your life on that chart. And then when you get done with 20 years, maybe you're going to rejoice, or maybe you're going to be on your face before the Lord. I don't know. But it's a blessing to do that. Do my children hear me testify as a daddy of the Lord more than just on Sundays? They hear that every day of the week. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship, and it should affect every area of my life. So as an encouragement, Daddy and Mommy, let's make sure our homes, the relationship between parents, is a godly example for our children, and that our hearts are pure and holy, or there will be no way that we can help our children. Secondly, in order to help our children, we need a vision for our grandchildren. Without a vision like this, Proverbs said we're going to perish. And so as a daddy and a mommy, especially as a daddy, you look out there and you make your decision based on what you want your children, your grandchildren, to look like. What clothes you like them to wear, what hairstyles you want them to have, what vehicles you want them to drive, what business pursuits you want them to have. Your grandchildren. See, most of our decisions are not based on today, but they're based on tomorrow. Every business decision is based on tomorrow. What for house I'm going to build. The work, I don't know what all you do. I know Brother Andrew does fence. He doesn't wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh, I should probably get to thinking about, I don't know if I have some work for today or not. I don't know. He thought about this last week. And there's plans put in place. I walked in the Showalter Meats and the refrigerator's full of meat. I don't know why, but because they thought about tomorrow. How much more should you and I be inspired to think about tomorrow? Young men here, 20, 21, 22, 23 years old, you need to be making decisions based on your grandchildren. Don't sit here and just live life. And you got a hold of Daddy's shirt tail, and you're going through, and you've been at Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship for 20, 25 years, and it's been a tremendous blessing to you to grab a hold of something that somebody's done for you. But as young children, you have to have a vision that's going to inspire you and motivate you to do some exploits for the kingdom of heaven today. Without that, in a couple generations, we're going to be written in the history books. Of yes, the charity movement came through. It took its sweeping thing. That's gone. Just another revival in history. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes time. But vision with action will change the world. I think if I remember right, as Fanny Crosby wrote the quote, "Vision is seeing that which others don't see." Vision is seeing that which others don't see. I sat down with a grandma one day. We was having a discussion about children. And I told her my inspirations and my goals to raise up a children, not children, but my grandchildren that will do what we do. And she looked at me and she said, "That's not possible. You can't see your grandchildren," she said. And I said, "Amen, I can't, but I can. By eyes of faith, I can. That's why I make decisions today." Sometimes I stand in awe of myself and as daddies. When it comes to spiritual things, we make really quick decisions. Well, whether I want to go here for church, I want to do that, or I want to invest here, I want to do that there. We make spiritual decisions, snap of a finger. But then when it comes to invest in our carnal pursuits, they're not wrong. We need to pay our bills, but they're earthly. When it comes to that, we meditate. We think hard. You know why? Because I'm going to put some money out there. And I'd like for that to come back. I really would. I'd like for this to pay off in a couple years. So is it going to? Will it make it? Should I put my money down? Those are big question marks. And so we seek counsel. We seek wisdom. We try to get every angle figured out because we don't want to lose any money. But sometimes if we would take that much thought about our homes, I don't want to lose my children. I don't want any one of them to be lost. A couple years ago, I went to the feed mill. I was hauling some grain for a farmer. I went to the feed mill there, and I was just doing my duties. I walked in, and in the office, the door was open, and there was on the whiteboard, there was a quote that stuck with me, and that's probably been at least 10 years ago. And I never forgot the quote. And it was all from a business standpoint. The questions were, where do we want to be in 15 years? What steps will we take in the next 10 years to help us reach the goal in 15 years? And then in the next 5 years, what changes will we make to reach our goal in 10 years? So there's a 15-year goal, and they're thinking about changes and steps that they're going to do to reach their goal. So as daddies and mommies, our goal is to have young men and young women fully mature, not at 25 or when they get married, but because if we wait till then, we're probably missed. I'd especially say this, young men, if you wait that long to mature, and young ladies, you missed a tremendous lot of work that you could do for the kingdom of heaven. You missed it. So don't waste your years. Daddy's a gatekeeper. He's the shepherd. He's the bishop. He's a servant. He's a friend. He's a leader. It's God's flock that he made us as daddies overseers of it. I am responsible in my home for what is tolerated and what is not tolerated. What comes in and what goes out. What language is spoken. What clothes is worn. What vehicles are purchased. What business pursuits are sought for. What music is listened to? What haircut Johnny has? What covering Susie wears? The material that's purchased. We're responsible. Nobody else is going to do that. And you can either do it passively. And by the way, our homes are a true reflection of who I am as a daddy. My home is a true reflection of who I am. Either my negligence, my neglect, passiveness, or of the feeble efforts that we put forth as daddies. It's showed, it's put out on there. I would like to encourage us as daddies, when we take that responsibility, remember in our day-to-day, gentle parenting doesn't work, okay? Daddy can still and must say no. Okay, yeah, we can do that, right? Well, when Johnny comes home and he shows up with a vehicle that Daddy didn't know anything about, or Daddy's saying to buy one, he comes home with one that's outside of what the Daddy's goal is, it's okay to say, no, we're going to go back, or it's over. Because see, it's not just Daddy, but it's a testimony. In this community, the Blessed Oak Christian Fellowship, I believe, is a city that is set upon a hill, and the glory of Jesus Christ radiates from that. And we don't want to do anything to dim that light. We don't want to put a bushel basket over it, and so we just see it when we get inside these four walls. But we want our neighbors to see it. There, I know there's many times that we as parents would like to shift the responsibility to another party. That's not new. Adam and Eve didn't want to take responsibility for their actions either. Daddies, we're showing our sons how to lead by how we lead. We are raising elders. We're raising shepherds. And yes, that can happen in their youth. It needs to happen. So let's lead with a purpose that is out of this world. Let us help our children catch a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's raise pillars for the kingdom of heaven. What we are pursuing today will most likely be lived out in my children. And if not in my children, it'll be lived out in my grandchildren. My pursuits will be lived out. Unless somebody breaks the chain, it's going to happen. So what is the real purpose in life? Have we lost it? What is my purpose? What did God save you out of the dark, deep, miry clay for? Did you lose that? Was it for houses and lands and big bank accounts, lots of toys, work? We have no family worship, no time for personal worship. We're busy, but we're busy winning customers instead of winning souls. We're selling products instead of saving souls. We're investing in business instead of investing in people. Which kingdom would you find your lifestyle in today? All of life. Which kingdom do you find that in? For 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So no man wars that gets entangled with the affairs of this life. If you're a soldier, you can't be entangled with these carnal pursuits. You can't be bound up, tied up, wrapped up in those things and pursuing Christ and his kingdom. It won't work. And if we're here today and we find ourselves falling short, it's not too late to go home and repent. As a daddy, it's okay to go home and to restore the vision, to lift up a standard, to raise the bar. It's okay to go home and say, "Children, we missed it. We've started moving the wrong way. And I'm sorry. I'd like for us to turn this home around, or we're going to go a new way." It's not too late. The only time it's too late is when you've taken your last breath. Then it's too late. I'd encourage you, if you find yourself falling short, don't go home and beat yourself up and lay in the mud and kick and scream a little and cry about it, but just get up and do something about it. God wants to raise up a people that will be victorious over the flesh. The devil wants you to lay there and say, "Oh, I can't do it. I know I'm a bad dad. I know my children shouldn't." And we go on and on. "And if only my wife would do this, or only my husband, then I could." We have all kinds of excuses to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Don't let the devil have one inch of real estate. Do whatever it takes to get it back or to keep it. Because it's harder to buy something back than it is to keep it. It takes a whole lot more effort to take Lewis and just allow him to live his life out. And then at about 18, 20 years old, he wants to be a member at Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship. And now the elders there will have a tremendous amount of work to work with Lewis. It's harder to restore that man than if daddy says, "Sonny, this isn't the way it's going to go." And no, we're not going to wait till they're 8, 10, 12 years old. Is it fair to say we can start at birth? Is it fair to say that? We've had four children. And then we had a 10-year gap, and we had a little baby girl. And it was a marvel to me. I'd kind of forgotten, I'll admit, of the little, I don't know what you want to say, Adam that lays within her. The Adamic nature to just do it again. We had some plants in our house, and of course, she just wanted to go there and pull leaves off. So we told her no, we got discipline. She's standing there, and as soon as you walked away, she did it again. Just keep pulling leaves off. And I don't know how many times consistently before it entered into her mind that she would see that plant, she said, "No, no." And she wasn't even walking yet. I always kind of thought, you know, after they get a certain age, it's time to start putting some things in here. But it has put a burden on my heart, because since then I've heard parents say, and I'm sorry if you say this, that, well, he or she's not 2 years old yet, so we, you know, we... One parent was sitting at a wedding, and this son was just climbing all over mom. I mean, running up down the pews, climbing over, and my wife happened to meet her in the nursery, and she says, well, you know, he's two now. We probably should start disciplining him. 2 years of missed opportunities. We don't need to have those type of children in our home. Raising our children when they're this little, that we have this goal that how they ought to be how we'd like to see them in Christ at 17, 18 years old, they can be that at 2 and 3 years old. Now, they're not going to be born again. Don't get me wrong there, but they can be respectful. They can be honest. They can be upright. They can be submissive to authority. They can learn all of that way down here. But if we wait till they're 5, 6 years old, there's a battle. And so in saying that, is it's easier to keep it than to try to buy it back. A note to you as dear sisters. The word is submission. It's not a bad word. And the word authority is not wrong either. It's responsibility. You can place authority with responsibility, and you carry that also. But if today your husband's sitting here and he sees some things that are lacking in the home, and he gets this burden, he's going to go home, and maybe tonight, if there's time, or maybe tomorrow morning, in family devotions, he talks to you and he says, honey, there's some things in my personal life, and there's some things in our family that's going to have to change. And sometimes this feeling can well up within you and say, where are we going to go now? Well, what's he going to ask of me now? I would encourage you, support him. Get underneath him and say, honey, go for it. Because you have to trust your husband. He is pursuing Christ. He has a vision for his grandchildren. He's not doing this to make life hard for people. Children, your daddy's not making decisions because he hates you and he just wants to squelch your life and to push you into a mold. He's doing it because he loves you. The elders of this church don't make decisions because they want to make life hard for the people. They make decisions because they love you. Amen. And they want to stay, they're looking 20 years down the road, and they would desire that Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship would be a glorious light in this community. So when somebody of authority rises up, whether it's daddy, whether it's your husband, whether it's the elders, don't resist it. Don't say, I won't go there, daddy. I'm not going to listen to you. Oh, outwardly, you may get into it, but I'd encourage you to get into it with your heart. And you let daddy know. And maybe there's rooms for maybe as a young man, you've been caught into things you shouldn't have been. Go home today and sit your daddy and mommy down. As a young daughter, young son, and you say, daddy, mommy, I'm sorry. For the last year, 2 years, 3 years, I haven't been pursuing the things I should have. And daddy and mommy will come there, they'll bless you, and they'll support you, and they'll encourage you, and they'll help you to reach your goal. Because remember, mommy, you're raising mothers for the future. You're teaching them how to submit. You're teaching them how to respect. How to encourage and how to bless their husband someday. And I am a firm believer in the quote, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but in the quote, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Now, there's some things you could take out of there, but a mother has a tremendous amount of influence in shaping the future. So as you sit there and as a mother and you resist your husband, or as a daughter and you resist your daddy, you're ruining many generations. And I'd like to encourage you to get into the harness and to get behind daddy and mommy and to get behind your husband, because there's a glorious picture that's going to come out of that. So I think that we'll bring it to a close with this. Parents, keep the hearts of your children. Do whatever it takes to keep the heart of your children. If you need to only work 4 days a week, it's worth every penny lost. Okay? It is. It's worth... I would rather be poor physically than to be poor spiritually. I would rather do without money than to lose my family. So as you think of that there, if you need to give up some things, give it up. Because we're in this world that we live in, I want to give this here, and you already know this, but it's not a playground, it's a battleground. And it's a battleground for your family. This nation has lost the family many, many years ago. And everything that's inside of this this world today militates against family. It's man marrying a man, a woman marrying a woman. And the other day I heard a man even say that he would sooner get rid of his wife than he would his dog. And another man answered him and said, "Well, so would I, but the dog comes with my wife." Sobering. And we can laugh, but this whole pet scene is it's bestiology. It's worshiping beasts, if you will. And so as we're sitting here in this dark and in this cold, dark world, everything that Christ has called us to do is on the battleground to be destroyed. Your family, if Satan can destroy our families, he's destroyed the church. And so that's what I would like to leave you with. Daddies, turn your hearts to your children. Children, turn your hearts to your parents. Mommy, support and encourage daddy. And this will make a wonderful foundation for the times to come. And you'll be a blessed man. In 20 years, you'll be able to go to your grave as a blessed man surrounded by a godly seed. And there's no better picture than that. So I'm going to leave that with you. I do want to say this. This was a spur-of-the-moment weekend. This was not my intention or plans outside of some brothers asking favors. So I'm going to turn the favor back and say, come visit us sometime. We would have a tremendous blessing if you came and returned this favor. So thank you for the Southern hospitality. You as elders know what that means. Brother Benji shared that. It was wonderfully and well done. God bless you, and may he continue to use you in this community to draw souls to the kingdom. God bless you.